Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. I do want to encourage you to check out our other podcast. If you love the characters and the great detectives of old time radio and classic movies and television, then be sure and check out Detective Video Theater at videotheater.greatdetectives.net. Twice a month, we bring you a video theater episode with generally a public domain TV show or movie. Right now, we're alternating between episodes of Dragnet and Boston Blackie. And so you can check those out with my commentary before and after at videotheater.greatdetectives.net. Also, check out the amazing world of radio at amazing.greatdetectives.net. And these are old-time radio programs that are not detective programs, that are based on series that I do mostly in response to what Patreons request. And this summer, we're doing the Great Movies Over Radio series. This week, we'll be bringing you It Happened One Night with Clark Gable, and we'll post new episodes every Wednesday until August the 1st, so you can subscribe over at amazing.greatdetectives.net and check out all of our previous series that we've done, including Les Miserables with Orson Welles and The Summer of Bogart. And finally, check out my comics podcast, the Classy Comics Podcast. It's at classycomicsguy.com. And in it, I review and I'm looking for the best and classiest comics out there, with an emphasis on classic comics as well as modern comics that are nonetheless classy. So check it out at classycomicsguy.com. All right, well, now it's time for today's episodes of Nick Carter. And we have Episode 3 and Episode 5 of Kidnapped for Sale. The original air date is April 19th and April 21st of 1944. We are obviously missing Part 4, and unfortunately some important stuff happens in Part 4, but the recap in Part 5 will get you caught up, so no worries. Let's go ahead and take a listen.
What is it?
It's a case for Nick Carter, master detective.
Yes, it's a case for that most famous of all manhunters, the detective whose ability at solving crime is unequaled in the history of detective fiction. Nick Carter, master detective. Continuing the case entitled
Kidnapped for Sale, or Nick Carter and the Mystery of the Missing Babies.
On the trail of a ring that is stealing babies and selling them for adoption, Nick Carter and his secretary Patsy are searching for evidence in the apartment of Doc Arnold, a member of the gang who has tried to kill them. Nick hears someone moving about in the next room, and as he goes in to investigate, unarmed, he runs into a blaze of gunfire.
Oh, Nick! Nick, are you all right?
Yes, Patsy. I dropped to the floor and he missed me.
Where is he?
He went out the window and down the fire escape. Stay here. I'm going after him.
Oh, Nick, don't go out on that fire escape. You haven't got a chance without a gun.
Oh, no use anyway, Patsy. He's down on the street already, running toward that parked car.
Oh, Nick, he's turning around to shoot.
Hit the floor, Patsy. You all right?
Yes, are you?
Yeah. Well, he made a clean getaway.
Oh, Nick, how could you have been so foolish as to try to capture him unarmed? Why, he might have killed you.
I had to take the chance, Patsy. Those papers he was carrying away might have been valuable to us.
Did you recognize who he was?
Yes, it was Dutch. Oh. Arnold's gunman. The fellow who locked us in the safe.
Look, Nick, he ransacked this room thoroughly. Must have been packing up everything in here while we were in the next room.
I'm afraid you're right, Patsy, but let's look around anyway. Perhaps in his hurry, he may have left something behind that'll be valuable to us.
This writing table's been cleaned out.
Mm-hmm. Nothing in this bureau either.
He seems to have gotten everything.
Well, afraid we're wasting our time here. Not only is Dutch a fast worker, he's a thorough one.
Hey, where do you think Dutch will go from here?
I imagine he'll join Arnold somewhere.
Do you think they'll try to leave the city?
They may, now that they know I'm onto them. But we're not going to give them the chance if we can help it.
What do you mean?
We're going down to headquarters and have Riley send out an alarm for both Arnold and Dutch.
Gosh, Nick, this baby-stealing racket's a dirty business.
It's worse than that, Betsy.
Well, Mrs. Anders said she wouldn't want to live if you couldn't get her baby back to her.
I'll do my best.
Nick, why do you keep watching your mirror like that?
I'm not certain, but I have a feeling we're being followed.
Followed?
Yes. Traffic's so heavy, though, it's difficult to tell.
No, but...
No, don't look back, Betsy. We are being followed. We don't want them to know we're aware of it.
Perhaps when you make the turn to headquarters at the next corner, you'll be able to tell.
Yes. I'm coming to it now. Soon, no. Here goes.
Oh, were we followed?
Oh, two cars turned in after us. I still can't tell.
Here's headquarters.
Yes. When we stop, Patsy, watch those two cars when they go past. See if you recognize anybody in either of them.
Okay.
Now watch them as they go by.
Nobody in that car I ever saw before.
Look, Patsy, in that one.
That was Dutch.
Yes, and he must still have the papers he took from Arnold's apartment. He hasn't had time to get rid of them. We're going after him.
Oh, hurry, Nick, hurry. He's quite a way ahead.
I know, Patsy, I know, but there's too much traffic here to go much faster.
Nick, he knows he's being followed. He's speeding up.
Oh, if only traffic weren't so heavy. Can't get by the half dozen cars between Dutch and us.
Oh, hurry, the light's changing to red.
No. Couldn't make it.
Oh, Nick, Dutch got through, too. If only those cars hadn't blocked us.
And by the time the light changes, it'll be too late. I'm afraid he's given us a slip again.
Yeah, and he's got all those papers he took from Arnold's room. We can kiss him goodbye now.
That seems like it.
Nick, after the way Dutch ran away from us when we were in Arnold's apartment, why do you think he followed us down here?
It's always a good point to know your enemy's next move. And Dutch wanted to know what ours would be.
The light's turned green now.
Yes. Our friend Dutch is completely out of sight. Well, Patsy, that leaves us nothing to do but go back and call on Lieutenant Riley. Hello, Riley.
Good evening, Lieutenant.
Well, hello, Nick and Patsy. What brings you down here?
Riley, what do you know about the baby-selling racket that sprung up in town these past months?
Oh, plenty, Nick. We ain't been able to do anything about it.
What do you mean by that?
Nick, there's hardly a day goes by that some poor mother don't come to headquarters and tell me how she was persuaded to part with her baby.
Oh, how awful.
Usually she let the baby go because she couldn't afford to support it. And after the baby's been gone a few days, she realizes just how much it means to her. And then she comes down here and asks us to help her get it back again.
I see. Then what do you do, Lieutenant?
Well, sometimes she has the address of the men who took her baby. We bring them in.
Ever get anything on them?
Nothing. Nothing at all. These men always have a release signed by the mother giving them permission to take the baby.
Hmm. You mean that there's nothing you can do about it, Lieutenant?
No, not as long as they have a release signed by the mother.
These men you bring in for questioning, have you ever seen any of them before?
Oh, sure, Nick. They all have records as swindlers and confidence men. They get into the baby-selling racket because it's easy money.
And you haven't been able to find out who's behind them?
Oh, but I can tell you this, Nick. It's somebody big. The minute one of these guys is brought in, a lawyer shows up to take care of them.
Seem to have built up quite an organization.
Yeah, it's growing all the time.
Isn't there any way you can break it up, Lieutenant?
We can't touch them until we get some concrete evidence that they're operating outside the law.
Well, Riley, I think I've got something on them this time.
You have, Nick? What's happened?
Earlier this evening, a woman by the name of Mrs. Anders came to my office. Seems a man named Arnold had induced her to leave her baby with some friends of his while she went away on a trip.
Mm-hmm.
When she came back, she found he wouldn't return the baby, denied ever having seen her before.
Nick, we can't hold these men because legally they're always in the clear.
Yes, but in Mrs. Anders' case, there was a slip-up. Arnold didn't get a release from Mrs. Anders.
He didn't, Nick.
No.
Nick, that's great. We can really get him for that.
We'll have to move fast, though, Riley. I suggest you send out a general alarm for
him. Sure, Nick. Have you got his description?
Well, you probably have his record and files.
Huh?
This isn't the first time I've run into him. In September 1934, I got the evidence on him on a blackmail charge. It would send him to prison for 5 years.
Do you remember what name he was convicted under?
Yes. That time, he was using the name of Edward Morelli.
Fine. I'll have one of the boys see if we have anything on him in the files. Good. Just a minute, Nick.
Yes, Lieutenant?
See if you can find anything in the files on a confidence man by the name of Arnold. He did a blackmail rap in 34 under the name of Edward Morelli.
Yes, sir. I'll look it up.
If we've got anything, Nick, it shouldn't take more than a few minutes to find it. Then we can really get going on this thing.
Come in.
Chief, Chief.
You look upset, Dutch. Is anything wrong?
Plenty, Chief.
Let's have it.
Nick Carter ain't dead.
Not dead, but he must be. Arnold locked him in an airtight vault earlier tonight.
Sure, Chief, and I saw him do it. But Nick Carter's still alive.
But Arnold said no one could last more than 10 minutes in that vault. And Arnold was the only one who knew the combination.
Oh, I don't know how he got out, but the main thing is he did. He came to Arnold's apartment while I was cleaning out like you told me.
How did he get there so quickly?
I don't know, Chief. All I know is that just as I was finishing the joint, the doorbell rang. Actually, I didn't pay any attention to it, but then I heard somebody picking a lock.
And what happened?
And Nick Carter and his secretary came into the apartment. Somehow Carter got wise that I was there, too. I got all my stuff packed up, and I got out in a fire escape just as he came into the bedroom.
Did you let him have it?
I took a couple of shots at him, but I missed. Before he could pull a gun, I made my getaway.
Ah, that fool, Arnold. This is all his fault.
Chief, there's something else I think you ought to know.
You mean more blunders were made?
No. Oh, what I'm trying to tell you is that when Carter left Arnold's apartment, I trailed him, see? He went to police headquarters.
Headquarters?
Yeah.
That means Carter must know something. The police don't worry me, but with Carter on our trail, things aren't going to be so easy.
What are we going to do, Chief?
Call Arnold for me.
Okay, he's right outside. Hey, Arnold. Chief wants to see you.
All right, Dutch. Oh, hello, Chief.
Come in, Arnold. Now. Well, Arnold, not only did you bungle in the matter of the Anders baby, but you failed when you tried to get rid of Nick Carter. Carter is still alive.
What? Why, he can't be. No one could have gotten out of that vault.
Carter did. Right at this moment, he's down at police headquarters.
Well, even so, Chief, what can he possibly...
You fool! If you hadn't blundered with the Anders woman in the first place, Carter wouldn't have a thing on us.
What can we do now, Chief?
We've got to find some way to make Carter drop his investigations.
Do you want me to see him?
Nah. Talking wouldn't do any good. He's got to be stopped. And I think I've got an idea. Yes. I'm going to give Carter a warning he'll never forget.
Lieutenant, here are the records on Arnold or Morelli.
Right, Sergeant. That's all.
Yes, sir.
Well, Nick, here's Arnold's record. And here's his picture, too.
Yeah, that's Arnold, all right. I can never forget his face, especially not after tonight.
That's quite a record.
And I'll have an alarm sent out for him right away. With any luck, we may be able to pick him up within 24 hours.
Fine. And the minute you do, Riley, give me a call.
Okay.
If we can bring him in, we can get enough out of him to round up the rest of the gang. Oh, no. Where's my key?
Fine detective. Can't even find a key to his own house.
Quiet. Ah, here it is. Well, Patsy, it's been quite an evening.
Quite a night. Being locked in a vault and then shot at later is too much for just an evening. Well, I'll be glad when Riley gets Arnold behind bars. Perhaps then Mrs. Anders can get her baby back.
I hope so, Patsy.
Oh, by the way, Nick, you promised Mrs. Anders to let her know just as soon as we found out anything.
But we don't know anything positive yet.
Oh, I suppose you're right, but... I keep thinking of poor Mrs. Anders sitting there alone waiting for word about the baby.
All right, Patsy. I'll go into the office and phone her and tell her how we're getting along anyway.
Yes, Nick, she must be awfully anxious to hear from you.
Afraid I can't offer her much encouragement. Now, wait till I put on the lights.
Nick, there's somebody sitting at your desk.
So I see.
Who is it?
I don't know. I only see his back from here.
Nick, why is he sitting in that funny position? He looks so awkward.
It's very simple. He's dead.
Dead?
Obviously. Wonder if I know him.
Nick, it's Arnold.
Yes, it's Arnold. With a bullet hole between his eyes.
And look, there's a note pinned to his coat.
It says, if you don't drop your investigation, the same thing will happen to you.
Well, Nick's hunt for Arnold is over. But with Arnold's death, Nick's hope of making him tell what has become of Mrs. Anders' baby seems to be gone forever, because dead men tell no tales. Or do they? Perhaps Nick can make this particular dead man tell him what he needs to know. Listen tomorrow. In the strange adventures of Nick Carter, Master Detective, Nick Carter is played by Lon Clark, Patsy by Helen Choate. The stories are written by Bob Arthur and David Cogan. Original music is played by Lou White. The entire production is under the direction of Jock McGregor. Tomorrow night at the same time, listen to the further adventures of Nick Carter in the case entitled
Kidnapped for Sale, or Nick Carter and the Mystery of the Missing Babies.
Don't forget that the adventures of Nick's adopted son, Chick Carter, are broadcast over most of these stations Monday through Friday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern War Time. The Return of Nick Carter, a copyrighted feature of Street & Smith Publications, Incorporated, is produced in the studios of WOR and is broadcast over most of these same stations Monday through Friday at 9:15 Eastern War Time. This is Mutual.
Case for Nick Carter, Master Detective.
Yes, it's a case for that most famous of all manhunters, the detective whose ability at solving crime is unequaled in the history of detective fiction. Nick Carter, Master Detective. Continuing the curious adventure called
Kidnapped for Sale, for Nick Carter and the Mystery of the Missing Babies.
To help Nick Carter smash a new and vicious racket, that of baby selling, Patsy and Scubby, Nick's assistants, are posing as a couple seeking to adopt a baby. They get into the headquarters of the baby selling ring, but there Patsy's disguise is ripped off by the man known as the Chief. Patsy and Scubby turn to flee, but
stand back, chumps. If you're trying to get near this door, I'll let you have it.
And we wouldn't want to lose either of you. As long as we've got you two, we've got Nick Carter himself, just where we want him.
Oh, you better not try to hold us here, Barnes. Nick knows where we are.
Of course he does. When you brought us here, you led Nick right to your hideout. We planned it that way.
Say, Chief, maybe that's right. Maybe this is all a plan.
Don't be a fool, Joe.
Yeah, but, Chief, if Nick Carter did send him out to Trappers, you can bet he ain't far away right now.
You fool. The one thing I want is to have Nick Carter walk in here and try to rescue them. That's what I've been waiting for.
What do you mean, Chief?
Take a look at that window, Joe. I'll hold my gun on these two while you do it.
Okay, Chief. What do I look for?
You see any sign of cops out there?
No, not a one. Hey, well, what are you getting at, Chief?
Just this. If Carter was tailing these two, he's working alone.
He always works alone.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I get you. You mean if he does come up here, he'll come alone with no cops backing him up?
That's exactly what I mean. And that's what we want, because when he does come, we'll be ready for him.
You can't fool Nick. He'll figure on that.
Since when do you think a couple of cheap crooks like you can outthink Nick Carter?
Oh! Keep your mouth shut, Wilson. Or next time you'll get something permanent.
Okay. All right, go ahead. Have your fun while you can. It's not going to last long.
That's where you're wrong. Oh, Joe.
Yeah, Chief?
You're just about the same size as this fellow Wilson.
Yeah, so what?
If you were wearing that Hicks suit he's got on and had your hat pulled down over your face, you'd look enough like him to fool anybody for a few seconds.
I don't get you.
Take Wilson into the back room and change clothes with him.
You mean you want me to put on his duds and make him put on mine?
That's just what I mean. All right, Wilson, get going.
Sure, just as you say. Don't worry, Patsy. They can't put anything over on Nick.
After you've changed clothes, Joe, tie him up. If he tries anything funny, you know what to do.
Yeah, I got you.
And send Dutch out here. You'll find him in that back room. I've been keeping him under cover there. Cops are looking for him.
Right, Chief. All right,
all right, I'm going. Don't...
Now, Miss Patsy Bourne, maybe you'd like to do a little talking.
I really can't think of anything I want to say to you.
What does Carter know about Mrs. Andrews' baby?
I haven't the slightest idea, except that he knows where it is.
You're lying.
If you don't believe me, why ask me?
You wanted me, Chief?
Oh, yes, Dutch. He's an old friend of yours.
Ah. How'd she get here?
Never mind questions. You had one chance to get rid of her and Carter, and you bungled it. Now you're going to have another chance. And a last one.
It's okay by me. What do I do?
I'll tell you in a moment. Joe, aren't you finished in there yet?
Yeah, Chief. I just got finished. I got Wilson tied up like one of these Egyptian mummies. How do I look in his duds, huh?
Just what I want. Now put Wilson's hat on.
Okay, there.
Yeah, pull it down over your face more.
All right. Yes.
That's better.
All right, what now?
You two stay by the window and watch the street. See if you can spot Nick Carter. Dutch knows what he looks like.
Sure. I know him like he was my brother, and I don't like him.
And now, Miss Bourne.
Yes?
Since you don't feel like talking, I'm going to let you join your pal in the next room, where you'll be out of the way.
It'll be a pleasure. I enjoy his company much more than I do yours.
I'll tie you up, and then the two of you can wait for Nick Carter to come and rescue you. But if I were you, I'd spend my time thinking up some suitable last words. You're going to need them soon.
Scubby.
Yeah, Patsy?
Does this floor seem as hard to you as it does to me?
Harder. I've been lying on it longer.
My hands are tied so tight, my fingers feel numb. I can't seem to budge the knots in this rope, not even using all the tricks Nick taught me.
No, neither can I. I can't seem to get even a bit of slack.
I guess we'll just have to wait. What do you suppose they're up to?
Oh, Barnes has some trick in mind to trap Nick, obviously.
Do you think Nick was really following us?
Gosh, Patsy, I don't know. He didn't say he would.
Oh, Scubby, if only I'd kept my own hair pushed up under that wig.
Oh, wait. Yeah. I think one of these knots is starting to give, Patsy. Wait a minute. No.
No.
It's still tight.
I wish we knew what they're up to.
I wish Nick knew. Uh-oh.
Well, what is it?
I hear footsteps. Someone's just come into the outer office. Listen.
All right, where are they?
That's Nick's voice. Yeah. Listen.
They're in this room, Carter. I'll show them to you. Open the door, Dutch.
Yes, Chief.
If you found them, you'll regret it. There they are. And no damage done.
Oh, Nick.
You all right, Patsy?
Yes, Nick, yes.
Oh, Nick, I was never gladder to see anybody in my whole life.
All right, Barnes, untie them.
Untie them? Why, what do you mean, Carter?
Gee, the Carter's sure acting goofy, ain't he?
Yeah, it sounded just like he said to untie
them. You heard me, untie them. Said if I let you capture me, you'd let them go.
Oh, Nick, you didn't make any bargain with these men, did you?
Under the circumstances, Miss Bowen, your friend Carter had little choice.
Oh, Nick.
Sorry, Patsy. Afraid I was a dud as a rescuer.
Well, really, Carter, you might give us credit for being just a little too clever for you, don't you think? Isn't everyone who can trick Nick Carter with a borrowed suit of clothes and some red ink on a handkerchief?
Put it any way you like. But you said you were going to release them. So go ahead and do it.
I didn't say so. Dutch said so. I'm afraid I can't let Dutch make up my mind for me.
That was just a slip of my tongue, Carter.
Yeah, so. Dutch didn't know what he was saying. He was excited.
Oh, that's how it is, huh? Well, I'm excited, too.
Yep.
Dutch, grab him.
I got him. Nick, the other one's got a gun.
Or let me shoot. I'll pull out into him.
Chief, he's getting my gun out of my hand.
I'll fix him.
Nick, look out! Yeah. Oh, Scubby, he broke that chair right over Nick's head.
Yeah, knocked him out cold.
Yes, he asked for it. Now, tie him up, Dutch.
You bet I will, Chief. Come here, busting my wrist. Hey, give me a hand, Joe.
Yeah, sure, Dutch. You almost broke my jaw, too.
I'll let him keep you company until this evening, Miss Bowen and Mr. Wilson. At that time, I have some very interesting plans for all three of you.
Can you hear me, Nick?
Oh. Hello, Betsy. Oh. What hit me? The ceiling fall in?
Barnes hit you with a chair.
Is that all? Oh. Whew. How long was I out?
About half an hour.
Nick, what happened? How did they trap you?
Oh, it was so simple, Patsy. I'm ashamed of myself. As I was walking toward the building, I saw Scubby stagger out the door with a bloody handkerchief to his face.
Well, that was the cab driver in my clothes using a handkerchief dipped in red ink.
Yes, I found that out afterward. But I was down the street a few yards, and from that distance, he fooled me completely. Staggered to the cab and collapsed inside. I thought it was Scubby, hurt and trying to get away, so I ran up. When I opened the door of the cab...
He was waiting with a gun.
Exactly. And just then, Dutch shoved another gun in my back.
What did you do?
Well, I knew it was almost hopeless to make a fight for it. And Dutch said that if I'd come along quietly, they'd turn you two loose.
Oh, you didn't believe a crook like that, Nick, did you?
Oh, no, of course not, Scubby. I knew he was lying. But I pretended to believe him. I figured that if they took me to where you were being kept prisoners, I might be able to save all three of us and maybe capture some of them.
Oh, gosh, that was swell of you, Nick.
Well, I haven't given up hope yet. I think these knots they tied me with are getting looser. If I can get my hands free.
Oh, you better hurry, Nick. They may come back any minute.
Yes, I know, Scubby. Ah, there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're free.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Now, as soon as I can untie my feet, yeah, we'll...
Going someplace, Carter?
Oh, Nick.
We wouldn't want to lose you. Just lie back the way you were. That's it. All the way back.
As long as you have that gun, I don't have much choice, do I?
You must have been watching through the keyhole.
Yeah. Carter, I've heard of your little tricks, and I wanted to see how good you were. This time, you'll find out what a real knot is like. Over on your face, Carter. Hands behind your back. That's it. Dutch, give me a hand here.
Sure, Chief.
Carter, I'm going to tie you with a very special knot. A vaudeville magician once taught it to me. You can't untie it because the harder you pull, the tighter it gets. There. Put the end of the rope through this loop like this, and pull, and there you are. Now, get out of that one.
Say, that's pretty neat. Shall I answer?
No, I'll take it. You stay here and keep both eyes on them.
Okay, Chief.
Hello? Yes, speaking. Yes? Yes, I got all three of them here now, wrapped up like Christmas presents.
Nick.
Quiet, Betsy. I want to hear this.
Yes, as soon as it gets dark. The old warehouse down the street. What's that? Good? Oh, yeah, I see. Yes, that's smart. No, there won't be any slip-ups this time.
They're going to kill us, aren't they?
Steady, Betsy. They may try to, but we're not dead yet.
Oh, I see. Going to make bail yourself. Going to ship them out of the state. Yeah, that'll be safer. Okay. Well, it's all set. As soon as it's dark enough, you three are going for a little ride to an old warehouse down the street. I hope you won't mind the fact that the ride will be strictly one way.
All right, you three. Go on in.
Line them up against the far wall, Dutch.
Right. Go on, you. Over against that wall.
Nick, what should we do?
Obey their orders, but move as slowly as you can.
Right.
Okay.
Come on, move.
All right, turn around now.
Shall I give it to him now?
Just a minute. I'm going out and make sure the street's clear.
Oh, I get it.
Wait till you hear me knock three times on the door. That'll mean everything's okay.
Trust me, Chief.
When you hear me knock three times, bump them off. But wait for the knocks. You
Understand?
Gotcha, Chief. Well, folks, any last words?
You can't get away with this, Dutch.
No? Gosh, Cotter, you get me all nervous. Maybe I better let you have it now before my hand begins to shake so bad I can't aim straight, huh?
Nick, he's really going to shoot us.
Nick, he's not fooling.
You're right. I'm not fooling.
You kill me, Dutch, you'll have every cop in the country on your neck.
Yeah. But if they can't find your body, Cotter, they can't prove you've been killed, can they? And they ain't gonna find it. Because just as soon as you're dead, the chief and I are gonna light a candle and set it up in the middle of a pile of this old waste paper that's all around here, see? And when we're a long, long way from here, the candle's gonna set the paper on fire, and this old warehouse is gonna burn up like a box of matches. A 3-alarm fire.
Oh, Nick.
Why, you
but
dirty...
But you folks won't mind by that time, huh? Ah, there's the chief's signal. Well, Carter, I got a feeling this gun is going to go off just as soon as I count three. Like this. One, two...
With his hands tied securely behind him and Dutch's anxious fingers squeezing the trigger of a gun aimed at his heart, Nick has only an instant longer to live, unless he can think faster than Dutch can shoot. And what stratagem can Nick possibly devise on the spur of the moment that can save the lives of himself and his two assistants? Listen Monday. In the Strange Adventures of Nick Carter. Nick Carter is played by Lon Clark, Patsy by Helen Choate. The stories are written by Bob Arthur and David Cogan. Original music is played by Lou White. The entire production is under the direction of Jock McGregor. Monday night at the same time, listen to the further adventures of Nick Carter in the case entitled...
Kidnapped for Sale, or Nick Carter and the Mystery of the Missing Babies.
Don't forget that the adventures of Nick's adopted son, Chick Carter, broadcast over most of these stations Monday through Friday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Wartime.
This is Mutual.
This is Andrea J. Graham, author of the Web Surfer series. Oh, and A Madam's Wife. You're listening to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio.
Welcome back. Well, a pretty harrowing cliffhanger for Nick Carter. Having done the Superman program for so many years, I will say that it's pretty common when you have a Monday through Friday serial to really make that last episode of the week end on as big a cliffhanger as you can to really have people curious and ready to come back and listen again on Monday. And you definitely see that in today's episode. I also do like the fact that with an episode missing, we are missing part of the story. It does show that you're not getting a ton of padding with this serial, that there are things happening and movement. But again, we do get pretty well caught up with the recap at the start of the episode. I did think in part three, everybody, you know, continuing to say, I didn't know he could get out. I thought it was impossible. Just highlights, you know, the absolute impossibility of Nick's escape. I mean, in the defense, a guy who had set the trap, it's like, how was he to know that Nick could speak through an airtight safe to the security guard on the other end? But at any rate, this is an interesting serial. It reminds me a lot of movie serials in structure, even more than the typical Superman radio series, because it's not going to be quite as long as many of those were. So we'll see how Nick gets out. Join us back here next Tuesday for part 6 and 7. In the meantime, if you do have a comment, send it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. Oh, and be sure and check out our YouTube archive at youtube.greatdetectives.net. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.